DA got that
dope. Today ain't even my birthday, but I can ball if I want to. Pull up on cars if I want to. How about that? Threw that on in my jumpsuit.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Short segment. Lance kind of talked a lot there in that last segment.
John got off on FIP.
All this baseball stat talk, you guys wouldn't stop.
All right, so this is a little bit shorter segment here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get Spencer in here. He wants to talk about his Astros, the first place Astros in the American League. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, guys. I just want to follow up. You were talking about with the team OPS. Batter to batter, and it's just been remarkable to watch because they don't have anybody who's going to remotely be in the MVP race. I mean, even if Ohtani weren't having the pitching and hitting year that he's having, they have nobody. I mean, Correa was there for a while, but he's, won for his last 50. And it's just been remarkable all season where they haven't all been hot at once except for about a, 10-game stretch, but they just – somebody's always hitting, and it's just been incredible to watch. And, they haven't had Diaz and Bregman for about a month now, and Correa's won for his last 40 or whatever it is. But Toro got a home run yesterday. Alvarez gets a base hit, and he's starting to heat up a little bit. And it's an incredibly deep team, and it's been amazing to see what they've been able to do, even with the injuries. And their pitching staff has been beaten up right and left. He's on the DL right now, so I think they're just going to quietly keep pulling away, and then hopefully they'll be healthy and hot in the playoffs. Just kind of go from there.
Yeah, it is. It really is that how consistent. You're right. Nobody's in the MVP hunt. That's just not happening. Well, I think Ohtani's already won the MVP, and we got two.
Yeah,
months
but who
we got
you,
2 months ago?
Who do you put forward? At one point, we were saying, okay, Correa or Yuli or Altuve. Right now, it's Altuve, right?
What, the most clutch?
The MVP. If every team had to put forth an MVP candidate,
yeah, it would be Altuve.
Altuve's your Astro.
Yeah.
Correa's fallen off. At least at this juncture, he's not it.
Yeah,
it is fluid in a baseball season. We do know that it doesn't lock in for the Astros usually at any point. So. Jordan has not been bashing the ball, because Jordan at some point could have taken over and maybe still could take over in that mythical, MVP race for the team. But I would say it's clear there's not a pitcher.
Brantley's hitting .326,
but doesn't hit with any power.
Yeah, no,
he's just old school batting average. I mean, his OPS, what's his OPS number?
It's .856.
Yeah, it's solid.
No, it's good. Altuve is only .861, and he's got 23 homers.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But he's producing runs, too.
Yeah. His on base is .356. His slugging is .504. And Jordan's is .516. Altuve's slugging is almost to Jordan's. That's how big he's been this year.
I thought you said it's higher than Jordan's. You said .516?
His slugging is .504, and Jordan's is .516.
Oh, his .504. Okay.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker's .514 slugging now. He's been a beast of late. Kyle Tucker has carried you lately, the way that he's been hitting. And Carlos has just collapsed, so hopefully he can turn it around on the road trip. He's down to .268 now, average. I don't know if he's losing himself any money. I don't know if the pressure's got to him. I know that the time off has really hurt him, him getting sick. He just hasn't been the same guy. But, of course, it was a few games before that. Man, it sure would be nice. Alex Bregman's not coming back on this road trip. That we know. Dusty talked about that. No, Alex Bregman. He's not going to be joining them anytime soon. He said he needs 20 to 30 at bats. That's a long time in the minors.
Guess is he'll get 5 games.
Maybe. But how many games do you get in spring training? 30? To get ready for a season? Alex Bregman's basically got to go back to spring training.
He's
been gone that long.
I could see him getting 4 games.
Oh, I can see him getting more than that, because he's not going to be joining them on this road trip. So he gets back there pretty soon he could be there for 5-6 games. Yeah. I mean,
depends on how he hits, depends on how he's seeing the ball. I mean, really, you're just trying to get your rhythm back. Are you seeing it well? Are you putting good bat on the ball? They'll be checking. I'm sure they're outfitted now to be able to measure exit velo and all the stuff they need to at the minor league park. So I don't know. I don't know that it is. Dusty has been saying from the very beginning, he's out. He said this early July. He's out for at least all July.
Yeah.
So he told you that. Yep. You knew what you were dealing with. Have you guys talked about Pedro Baez?
We talked about him last week.
He's going to the Skeeters, and he's getting a little closer. Yeah, Pedro Leon got pushed up to the Skeeters, which was good. So that youngster who is one of their best young candidates in the minor league system is going to be with the Skeeters, and that's probably your heir apparent to Carlos Correa. They moved him from outfield into infield. So we'll be able to take a look at him here in the city of Houston if you want to get out to Skeeters games. And then Pedro Baez, that was really nice to see that, you know, he's getting a little bit closer and going to keep putting in some work. But it was nice to know that maybe one of your guys that you've depended on for bullpen help, who signed a 2-year deal, will finally be an Astro by August. Certainly a good chance of that.
Now the trade deadline is this week. If you add Pedro Baez and you add Alex Bregman and you add Aledmys Diaz, I'm done with Aledmys Diaz. We had Matt Carpenter on talking about him possibly coming here. I know he's not. He hasn't hit. He didn't hit well last year, and he's not hitting all that great this year. But at least he's there. He said he would take a utility role. He would take the Aledmys Diaz role. And, Aledmys Diaz is 776 OPS. Yeah, great. You know the last time? Guess last time Aledmys Diaz played.
Oh, man, it's been a while. June 3rd?
5th.
Whew.
It's 2 months. It's 2 months now. It's going on 2 months that Aledmys, and this is every year. Aledmys Diaz will give you 60 to 70 games a year. And that's it.
Let's take a look at Aledmys Diaz as an Astro. In 2019, he played in... Now, he had 247 plate appearances.
Yeah, how many games?
69.
That's what I said. It'd give you 60, 70 games a year.
How many did he miss with injury, though? Because he is a utility player.
A boatload.
Last year, he played 17 games. 59 plate appearances. This year, he's played 34 games, 126 plate appearances.
It's ridiculous how much time this guy misses. You can't keep doing this. You cannot keep doing this. He went, He missed over a month from May 26th. 2 months. He missed 2 months from May 26th to July 22nd. He'll miss two. Dude just misses 2 months a year. That's what he do.
How about this? This is an article from July 9th in the Chronicle. Astros Aledmys Diaz takes a big step in his recovery. July 9th.
Yeah.
That was when the big step was taken.
That was the big
step. 2 weeks later, still nothing.
Still nothing. All right, 914 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
Wish there was one site that would aggregate. Like, it's harder in baseball to find. In football, it's easier. It's 16 games, you know. But in baseball, it's harder to find. I wish we had a website that would aggregate the time missed due to injury. Because I'm interested to see how much Aledmys Diaz has missed.
He missed two months in 19. He missed almost 2 months in injury.
He goes out 3 times a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not short times out either.
No. When we get back, there was more to the Olympics than the men's basketball team losing. Simone Biles had herself a rough start. Let's talk a little Olympics on the other side. But right now, I'm talking about my man, Jeff Aronoff. And you know what? He gets a gold medal. Jeff Aronoff gets a gold medal for fixing up your house, for making your house more valuable. Because, listen, if you are somebody that hasn't put anything into your home, I don't know how old your home is. If you're not putting anything into it, if you're not redecorating, if you're not putting it, if it's 15, 20 years old, you haven't done anything with your countertops, your cabinets, if you haven't done anything but with your backyard, if it's just there and it's not useful to you, or to someone that would value your home? Or how about just you? How about having a much nicer place, a place that will actually be a place that you can all enjoy outside? Listen, I know it's hot right now, but in the backyard, you could get the fans and whatnot. Jeff Aronoff can make it so that it's actually livable. If you're looking for that outdoor kitchen, patio, pool, all of these things is what Dude puts in. And he does it at a price, and he does it a great job. So if you're looking for a way to upgrade that kitchen, bathroom, outdoor, whatever it is, 713-880-2822. Jeff Aronoff is here for you at 713-880-2822.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Did you see Simone Biles? I don't know what. I don't know all the different things, but the one where you do flips and then you hit the thing and then you do more flips. Okay, one of those.
The vault.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I don't know what it is. I know is that she missed the. She did look like it was going to be a perfect. But she was over to the left, and she did her flips, and she landed perfectly, except one leg was off of the mat.
She bounced, and then the right leg went off the mat. She was bad yesterday relative to what we were expecting.
You know,
and at the Olympic trials, I watched her. She was great at the Olympic trials. But what was strange,
she is the GOAT, actually.
Yeah.
And here's the problem with that, though, is, in a matter of fact, they did a big piece on her, one of the women that's on in the morning on NBC. I don't know what her name is. Anyway, she was saying, you know, you're the GOAT, and is there, you know, all the pressure and everything else. And Simone is leaning into it because she is the best ever. She is the best ever, and you can't argue with her medals and her records and her all of the stuff that she has done. But when you are doing that in the middle of competing, then and yesterday she said, it wasn't an easy day. I truly have the weight of the world on my shoulders at times. I know I brush it off and make it seem like pressure doesn't affect me, but damn, sometimes it's hard. Well, when you're answering questions like about being the GOAT and taking in all the accolades and everything else, you're putting more pressure on yourself. And that has happened. She's not shying away from, you know, and well, she shouldn't. She's the best. She's the best ever. But now you're still when you're still in the middle of competing, a lot of athletes will say, that's not for me to say. I'm not into, you know what? I'm just worried about this competition, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but she
blah.
Needs to perform like it. She's really not. But this is just to qualify. And once she's in qualifiers, that's fine. And I think,
some of this already counted towards the all-around. So
No. The all-around is going to be an individual. The all-around is going to be tough for her because she's just. She has not been on her game. But did you see her response and reaction? I think because she's won so many times, she's not like, it's not terrible. She's laughing. She's making faces like, oh, that was terrible. On the vault that you talked about, they had her face as she's walking back and she's like,
yeah.
You know, it's not eating her up, at least externally. It doesn't look like it's something that's eating her up.
You get more than one try, though. She ended up finishing first in vault. And first in the all-around competition, but the only category she was top. She was eighth in the uneven bars, third in the balance beam, and second in the floor routine. So but that's a bad day for her.
No, for her, it's a really bad day. And she just wasn't on. But it doesn't look like it's eating her up. And probably because she's done everything that she can do more. But there's no doubt her status is firmly cemented in – you know, in the history of in Olympics, women's Olympics, women's gymnastics. But so it didn't seem to eat her up. Like, it seemed like she had.
Well, she was crying afterwards.
I didn't see that. I saw after every individual thing, because it started to add up a little bit. She was she was able to she didn't show her disappointment. Let's put it that way. She looked like she was okay with it, which might have been a mechanism just to guard against showing it for a while until the very end, maybe.
Here's a picture of her afterwards. I don't know why.
Do we know if that is that? That's here. Not an old one.
No, that's her. That's her yesterday in her outfit. Yeah, she was. She was affected by it. She was certainly affected by it. Unfortunate, she's still got a chance to do great things in these Olympics. But they did a piece on her yesterday before she performed. And it was like, holy crap, we are watching Michael Jordan, if you want to know the truth. She is quite possibly Houston's greatest ever athlete.
Yeah. Well, that is a strong statement to make, but I mean, you start with Olajuwon, I guess.
Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis gets.
Although he's not from here.
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, Simone from here?
Simone is from here.
Forever. I mean, she's from. If you're here before college, I count you as from here. So you're not counting Dream then?
No, I'll count Dream.
Carl Lewis. He started at University of Houston.
Carl Lewis, right.
Okay.
But Simone Biles might be better.
No. So Simone Biles is a better Olympic athlete. 100%. Carl Lewis's biggest Olympics came in, what, 84? That was a huge Olympics. After that, he never had the same. 88, he got Ben Johnson'd. 92, Carl was not as great. He was more long jump. He still had long jump and relay, but he did not have the 100-meter and 200-meter success after 84. Dream won two championships. I mean, yeah, Simone Biles should be in the conversation 100%. And if you want to say she's the greatest athlete that the city has produced from age, let's say, 18 on, counting, you know, guys who came here to play or women who came here to play collegially, yeah, I think you could 100% make that case for Simone Biles.
Well, Carl Lewis has 9 goals. She has 4.
But count Carl's. A lot of them are the team. She has 4 individual or 4 teams.
But she's also got world records in world championships.
Tons of world championships.
Yeah. 5-time Olympic medalist, 4 golds and 1 bronze.
What read Carl's medals. I think a lot of them are going to be 4 by 100.
10 Olympic medals were gold. Stunning 4 track and field gold medals in 84 games.
Mm-hmm. But read the, do you have there what his events were? He won gold in 100 and 200 and 4x100 and long jump. All 4 of those were his 4 golds in 84.
He won gold in the 100, 200, the long jump, and the 4x1 right. relay.
Uh-huh.
In 84.
In 88, Ben Johnson beat him in the 100. Did he get a backup gold medal after Ben got, did they give him that posthumously, but in perpetuity or whatever?
In
88, Ben Johnson pissed off.
Oh, because he was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carl got second that year, I think. Okay. So what you're saying, though, because Carl was a great long jumper, too, he did get gold medals from 4x100, so those count, too. He's the anchor leg. So, yeah, maybe we're being – no, because here's the thing. She competes in all these other world championships. It's like multiple Olympics going on for her every other year. So, yeah, I count – I don't go by just Simone Biles' gold count in the Olympics because they've got championships going.
No, her world championships.
Yeah, they absolutely count. There wasn't a – I mean, in track and field, Carl would run at some different things, a lot of international meets. But Simone Biles, Carl Lewis, Akeem Olajuwon. Do you count? You have to count out
Altuve
then. But he was on just a professional team. He was not here collegiately or in high school. You count that?
Jose Altuve's whole career has been here. He's a Houstonian.
He's from here. Well, he went to school at Katie Taylor, didn't he?
No, he didn't really go to Katie Taylor.
Was he at Ailey, per se. Was he at Hastings or Elsick?
Neither of those. So, yeah. He is. I would say those
greater athletes come out of here. James Harden or Simone Biles?
Simone Biles.
James Harden or that one girl that I can't remember her name that had the that hurt her ankle and still landed that perfect landing.
Oh, Carrie Strug.
Yeah, Carrie Strug.
Carrie Strug.
You gonna put Carrie Strug over Jay?
Yeah.
All right, Laura Wilkinson, the diver.
Laura Wilkinson.
Over Harden. Okay. Let me keep going.
Does James have any gold medals? Does he have
on the Olympic team last year? Yeah.
He's on one. He's got one.
Was it the Olympic team? Yeah, because that's where he kind of got a lot better. Yeah, I think James has a medal. Yeah, do you have a medal?
No, I don't have any
James
medal.
James has a medal.
Laura Wilkinson does.
Yeah, Laura Wilkinson has a medal.
I'm going with her.
The Lopez triplets or siblings, whatever, who did Taekwondo or James Harden?
Oh, Lopez.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Charlo? Yeah, the Charlo twins or James Harden?
Charlo. F James Harden.
They're champions.
Yeah. Okay, name all James Harden's championships.
Right. Cynthia Cooper, James Harden.
Crushed it.
Cheryl Swoops, James Harden.
Yes.
Cheryl
Swoops. Tina Thompson.
Tina Thompson, yes. James Harden.
Yes. Yes.
Golly, but James can't get a W against anyone.
Well, he's got an Olympic gold medal, so he is a world champion in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but that doesn't really. No one gives a rat's ass.
What? He won a...
Yeah. It's the hardest medal to get now. Men's basketball gold medal.
I'm sure she had more.
I'm pretty sure. And if not, oh well. What about that that pitcher, Cat Osterman?
I don't know how many medals she
has. Cat.
Cat Osterman, yeah.
Laura Wilkerson has as many gold medals as James does.
Yeah, but one. She did it
she
by herself.
She just won?
James needed help. She didn't need any help. She won it back in 2000. She didn't need any help.
But James she came.
Yes, it's just an individual
sport. Could James
sport.
Have won the gold medal
no.
in basketball by himself?
There is no one-on-one basketball tournament.
No, James could not have won it by himself.
That's true because there's no way possible for it to happen.
Right. So I'm going with Cat Osterman on this one.
You're going with anyone. You would take people who don't even medal, who don't even get on the podium.
All right. She pitched. Did James pitch? No.
No, he's a basketball player. He doesn't pitch, no.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of the Cat Osterman, the U.S. is in the gold medal game.
She has two. She's got a gold and she's
silver.
Got a silver.
So she was a loser once.
No, she was. Oh, does James have two? Does he have two medals? No.
No, he has a FIBA gold, I guess. But James, his one opportunity, one gold. One for one. Thank you.
Do you want to
start over Cynthia Cooper versus James Harden?
Yeah. No. I don't. I'm good with it.
Craig Biggio versus James Harden.
Biggio. Hall of Famer. Is James a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
No.
Yes. He is. He's just waiting to collect his stuff.
He actually is. Yes. He will be a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He will
Craig,
be.
Oh, I want to see his gold jacket.
Jeff Bagwell versus James Harden.
Do they
Harden.
Give out gold jackets for the NBA? I think it's orange.
Nolan
isn't
Ryan,
it?
James Harden.
Nolan Ryan.
He's here like 4 years. He's longer than that.
Oh, does James have 5,714 strikeouts?
You know, James badly outplayed Nolan Ryan as
he
Houstonians.
Doesn't. Why are you giving stats for a sport he doesn't play?
No. Does he? No. Thank
does,
you.
Does Nolan Ryan,
James
does
bias,
Nolan Ryan have
James Harden
10,
biases
does Nolan Ryan have 10 NBA points? No.
No. He doesn't want him. He's got 5,714 strikeouts.
Yeah, and James will be amongst the league all-time leaders in scoring, too, at some point, too. So he'll have
go ahead. And name all those NBA titles he's got.
I can't.
Nolan Ryan won one in 1969. Did James? No.
Well, he wasn't alive to play baseball in 1969.
Great.
No.
Great. No, congratulations. You
all
got
right,
nothing.
Jack, you want to know Eddie the Eagle or Harden?
Eddie the Eagle?
No, he stunk.
No. Yeah, but yeah. Does James wear glasses like that? No.
I think he and Biggio are comparable.
Who's a better skier?
All right,
Eddie the Eagle or James?
By the way, does George Foreman get put in the conversation with Simone Biles and Carl Lewis and Hakeem Olajuwon? And Jose Altuve? I'll throw Altuve in there.
I mean, George's.
George was a dominant boxer when he was young, and then he won a title.
And he won gold, too.
In his 40s. Yeah, he won gold. I mean, George knocked people off the canvas. He was the most devastating puncher probably in the history of boxing, even more so than Tyson. And I was a huge Mike Tyson fan. But when you really study the history of boxing, George Foreman absolutely murdered people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, murdered people. What he did to Joe Frazier is to this day one of the most stunning beatings that any great fighter has ever taken.
8-9-32 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-377. And that's no jab. All right. He had a jab too, though, Lance. You know that, right?
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't just a devastating knockout.
It was a stiff telephone pole jab. But it also had nothing to do with sight jab. But he did have a jab. And actually, it kind of does. Hector is a huge boxing fan, and that's the reason his site is named Jab, because they want to punch up your website. Site Jab, SITEJab.com. Look, they started in the 90s, so they started when the internet was pretty brand new, and so they've been through lots of iterations. What their brand new website looked like in 2005 looked a lot different than 2010. What their brand new website in 2012 looked like was a lot different than 15. What 16's website looks like is a lot different than 21. These websites, not only do the bells and whistles change, but also the understanding of what keeps people on a website is getting faster and faster and more complete because of the analytics involved. And they're able to study what keeps people on the site, what converts eyes to leads. And so what they do is they build you a site that looks great, that is appealing to your eyes, but also is easy to navigate, and one that is more likely to keep people on your site for longer, because the longer they're on your site, the greater your opportunity to be able to convert those eyes into business leads. Make sure that you go to the site, the company that is doing amazing work with video integration, social media management, and much, much more, even e-commerce, at sitejab.com, SITEJab.com.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
937 ESPN 975 713-780-3776.
Hey, you know what I do want to say to start off with? I didn't get a chance to comment on this, but Greg Knapp's passing. Really sad story for those who didn't hear. Former Texans coach Greg Knapp, who was on Gary Kubiak's staff. He was with the Jets, and I'm working with the Jets on something right now involving player tracking and things like that. And so I reached out to my buddy over there who was on the personnel side. He's like, yeah, sorry we hadn't got back. It took a little while. What with, you know, what we're dealing with over here with Greg Knapp. I said, what happened? You know, I hadn't heard what happened. And he told me Greg Knapp, former Texans coach, was just riding his bicycle on I guess the roadways in California. A car swerved into the bike lane where he was and hit him. And he was on life support before passing away.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a guy who was really incredibly well liked. I know. The Jets are completely broken up. I reached out to Kevin Cooper and asked his thoughts about Knapp, you know, just check to see if he had heard about it. And Kevin Cooper worked with media relations for years and years, obviously, with the Texans. And, I mean, he gave a glow. He pretty much said the same thing that Rex Hogan said, who was with the Jets, is like one of the best guys that gets used a lot, but one of the best guys that you could ever be around, selfless, really just an awesome person, good coach, awesome person, and the NFL, you know, coaching fraternity really loved Greg Knapp, and he was the guy who was here with Houston. You know, John Benton, former offensive line coach with the Texans, whenever they had the really good offensive line here with Alex Gibbs and John Benton were the two O-line coaches, he's with the Jets now. So there's a couple of, you know, because Robert Saleh knew those guys from when he was with the Jets, and Greg Knapp was, you know, Robert Saleh, when he was with the Texans, I should say, is just a quality control guy. He brought some former Texans coaches he knew in with the Jets team. And so sad passing of a former Texans coach. He'd been with the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, who obviously knew him as well from his time with the Texans. But I didn't know if you guys had mentioned that at all, but I just wanted to pay respects to him.
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't remember him. I probably would.
You remember him saying Napper, Gary Kubiak.
I was only with Kubiak for 1 year when I was with the Texans. So I don't really remember him, and I know I didn't have any interactions with him, but yeah, that is a sad story. Riding your bike and wow. So how about Rick Dennison?
Rico, by the way, here he was with the Texans just 2010 to 2011. So yeah, he was just quarterback coach.
He wasn't there when I was there.
So he wasn't there.
He wasn't there when I was there. What about Rick Dennison deciding I'm just not going to coach? I'm not getting the vaccine.
So they're arguing about this on First Take or whatever show this is about. Will vaccine cause division in locker rooms? Let me ask you this question.
Well, cause division in the coaching ranks because you pretty much can't coach unless you get the vaccine.
Did you see, I'm sure, I don't know if you saw this or not, did you see which team already has infighting about vaccines,
The Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bills. Feliciano, they've got several guys who have diverging opinions on that topic. I think on some teams it will be, you may have issues in a locker room. It's like, I'll give you an example. It depends on the topic. It depends on the locker room. People talk about an openly gay player. Will that be a problem in locker rooms? Well, it depends on who the alphas and the leaders are in a locker room. That goes for any topic. Any topic that is a hot button, potential hot button issue, if your leaders and your alphas do not have a problem, the locker room's not going to have a problem. If they do, there's going to be talking. So if your leaders are guys who are not getting vaccinated, then there are going to be, like, I think the Colts have that right now. That's one of the reasons they have been below 50%. There was three teams below 50%. And it's a tough one for personnel people to deal with, GMs, coaches, and all that, because now I give Bruce Arians a lot of credit. He's not bullcorning around. Bruce Arians is like, you got to do it. Tampa's like at 85%, I think. But Bruce Arians is just like, if you don't do it,
Guess what? Teams are asking now, free agents that are out there, are you vaccinated? Because if you're not, we're probably not going to sign you.
Chad Speck, who's an agent, he's the one who put the thing out. A team was interested in one of his unsigned free agents, and when they found out he wasn't vaccinated, they were off. Well, too bad.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, it's not in the NFLPA. You got guys like Matt Judon coming out against the NFLPA.
Is there going to be vaccine discrimination? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
If you choose not to get a vaccine, which is your choice, you have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. Don't be going out to clubs and parties and stuff like that.
Go out to clubs and party. The fine for breaking protocol, not for catching it, just breaking protocol. Yeah. If you're not vaccinated, $14,650.
It should be.
Well,
that seems light to me.
Really?
You could shut down a team. You could get if you're on an unvaccinated team, you could shut down multiple players. That's why the NFL came out and said, okay, if you guys miss, if you cause a game to be missed, you don't even get paid.
Both teams don't get paid.
And you
I'm
know what?
Surprised that the Players Association went along with that.
But here's the thing. You can't go against that. Like, what are you going against? The teams, you want to get paid, then you have to play games. You want to play games. Everyone's been waiting for a vaccine to come out. Well, here it is.
Well, but this was decided upon. Actually, it's from last year's agreement about it. So yeah. This was before a vaccine
It was agreed to. Yes, that's right. And that's a key point. This agreed to get the season going last year.
Yeah.
And so they're basically saying, okay, you want us to pay you? You want us to get paid for all this stuff? Then we have to have some very strong agreements in place. And so, I think it's interesting right now. Look, if you don't want to get the vaccine, that's fine. The league is not mandating you get it. But you have to understand that you play by a different set of rules. And that's that. And the league and I give the league a lot of credit. They're not bull cornering around. I mean, they came in hard. You know, the NBA dances around a lot of stuff with the players. They don't want to make the players upset. The NFL just said, look, this is the way it's going to be. And this is how harsh it's going to be if you don't want to play along. Because we're not taking a chance on losing games, on players missing out, on teams having a 17 game season. If a player is out, quarterback's out for 2 weeks, that compromises a team's ability to make the playoffs potentially. This isn't baseball at 162 or basketball at 82/72. We got a lot shorter season. So we've done everything for you. We got you paid last year. We did everything for you as much as we could. And if you don't want to do the same for us, then you have to play by a different set of rules. And we're not kicking you off teams. We're not telling you you can't get paid. But don't be the ones, because let's be really honest about this. A lot of the players who are anti-vaccine, who don't get vaccinated, that's fine. But they're not taking steps not to get COVID. They're out of parties. They're out of clubs. They're out of bars. You see it on their Instagrams. It's not a big deal to them. But to the league, who is going to have the responsibility of taking care of the owners, taking care of the players and all that, they're like, well, we've got the numbers right here. 98% of the people who are in hospitals and who go to the hospitals are unvaccinated. 98%. We got the numbers right here nationally. So if you're not doing this, that's fine. But these are the rules. And if you don't want to play by the rules, then you can go. And I'm glad the league is taking a hardcore stance against this.
It'll be interesting, because it was the Bills GM that said, we're probably, you know what, we're going to decide on if you're going to be on the team. Vaccination.
He
backed off of it. But do you think he's backing off of it now when it comes time to cut guys? No, absolutely he won't be.
He won't say that's the
reason.
And
it's amazing. You know,
won't say that's the reason.
But it will be.
But it's going to be.
If all things are equal, I'm taking the vaccinated guy.
If all things are equal, yeah.
I'm taking the vaccinated guy. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to Deshaun on the other side and the implications of Deshaun showing up at camp. But first, Lance, what about a little charisma?
Charisma car wash. Can't wait. My car's a mess. I drove all the way to Colorado, drove back. What the kids did in my car was just criminal. But the outside of my car, I got the bug smudges all over the windshield. I've got the dirt. The tires look bad. The wheels. And so I can't wait to go to Charisma. I'm going this evening. They're open until 8 o'clock. They open at 8 a.m. They're open until 8 p.m. I'm going to go get it cleaned out. I'm bringing one of my kids with me, and they're going to vacuum. We're going to take two vacuums and get to work. They got the free vacuums for you there to work on your car. But listen, I got a $10 hookup for you. If you use the promo code 5975, they're going to take $10 off of your car wash from either the Ultimate Package, which goes from $14 down to just $4, or the Lava Package from $17 down to $7. The Lava Wax is the high-end wax that really keeps your car looking great for a long, long time. And it did for mine for a long, long time until I took this road trip. But I'm telling you right now, Charisma Car Wash has three locations. You're not going to find better prices than this. The promo code of 5975 is the ultimate hookup for you and your dirty car. So make sure that you go to Charisma, C-A-R-I-S-M-I-A, wash.com, and find one of their three locations in the Heights, the Gulfgate, or right there at Upper Kirby, Bissonnette and Kirby. You don't want to miss out on a great car wash, a clean car, and a $10 promo code 5975 with Charisma Car Wash.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so it's official. The University of Texas at Austin and the University of Oklahoma notified the Big 12 Athletic Conference today that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following expiration in 2025. Providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. The universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape as they consider how best to position their athletics programs for the future. So they're going to stay through 2025.
Not 24? I thought it was 24 and
following
25.
Following expiration in 2025.
But it expires in 25, January of 25.
Yeah. So that'll be the 24th season?
Yeah.
Following the expiration in 2000. Are you sure it's not? It must be.
I've read that they
are
out.
I don't know.
I thought it was
through 2025.
I don't know.
No, that's when it expires, is January of 25. So I think. I've read that they're going to be there till 24, which will... I mean, listen, that's a long time.
21, 22, 23. That's still four seasons
that's
of football.
That's still four seasons of football. Sark may not even be there anymore by the time they
get
there.
The way Texas rolls, he probably won't be.
I don't think NIL. I saw somebody postulate that NIL is causing this. I don't think it has anything. I know the discussion started 6 months ago, but NIL has been in play for a lot longer as well.
Says, OU to not renew media rights to Big 12 Conference after 2025. I think they have to play the 2025 season.
So that's five seasons.
Yeah.
I'll have to check on that. Yeah. Regardless.
I thought it was through 2025.
The answer is it's going to be a long time before Oklahoma and Texas are even in there. Here's another question. Once you're in the Big 12, okay, so not the Big 12, the SEC. So is I would assume Texas and Oklahoma, I don't think you'd want to split them up. Would you push Arkansas? Wait, Arkansas is in the West, right? So would you push Arkansas?
No, well, they're going to go into four divisions.
Four pods.
Oh, okay, because I missed all this talk.
So OU, Texas, Arkansas, and Missouri are going to be in one pod. A&M.
What does this mean, a pod?
There's four team divisions.
Okay.
It's for scheduling.
It's for scheduling. So you'll play your division, your three teams.
Oh, kind of like an NFL schedule.
Yeah, you'll play your three teams in your division every year, and then you'll play two from each of the other divisions every year. So you'll play every other year, and you will play your division home and away
so
every
that's
year.
Nine games.
But you will play at the opponents in the other divisions every 4 years.
It says nine games.
Correct. Yeah. Nine game conference schedule.
So you get nine games, and then you have three out of conference, as always.
Yeah.
Okay. What I hope doesn't happen is that they eliminate non-Power 5 teams from catching their paychecks. Because this is really, you're already screwing them with super conferences. Really, everything that's been done in football has screwed smaller conference teams. It's everything is making it harder for them. Then they had to go through COVID and the financial losses. They're already in conferences where they don't have the same TV contracts. Please don't take away their opportunities to get a paycheck. Please don't. And I don't have a dog in the fight necessarily, but I don't the Appalachian states, the Texas states, the Sam Houstons, I would even go so far as to say to a lesser extent, the Houstons and the Tulanes and the Cincinnati's, like, once they're no longer in they're not in a Power 5,
well,
it is beneficial for Cincinnati to go play Ohio. Now, that's not what I was necessarily talking about.
I don't think it's going to be long, though, before we're going to have 16 teams in the SEC. We've already got 15 in the ACC.
Pseudo 15.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is a member of in anything. Right. Everything but football.
They're going to have to member up. They're going to have to give full membership.
And you've got 14 in the Big Ten. You've got 12 in the Pac. You're going to go 16. We're going to have 64 teams, and they are going to break away. They're going to break away from the group of five.
Mike Leach trying to, we need a 64-team playoff. Stop.
No.
You know who always advocates for that? Guys who can never get there.
Well,
a middling team.
I know we're giving out the timeline for when Texas and OU would eventually leave. But what's the likelihood of the Big 12 even being around 5 years from now?
Because it will be because they've got the ESPN rights.
What about all the other schools say, hey, we want out too? Because apparently Oklahoma State's talking to the Big Ten about getting out, and the Big Ten's maybe receptive
to that.
What's
going to happen to Oklahoma? So Iowa State, to me, would be a perfect fit in the Big Ten. You know, you got Iowa.
Not for them, they wouldn't.
Iowa State,
what do they
why?
Bring to the table?
Well, huh?
Not what a bad football program.
They're with Iowa.
Kansas and Oklahoma State are probably the two teams that go to
Iowa,
the Big Ten.
Iowa State has Iowa. They've already got a state school.
Yeah,
Iowa,
the second.
Big Ten. And they're in Big Ten.
Yeah, no, which is why Iowa wouldn't want them in there.
Why would you not want Iowa State in?
No conference wants their major opponent in the same conference.
The SEC does.
No, it doesn't.
Not the rest of them.
That was the whole thing about Texas A&M. There was a gentleman's agreement that there would be no school from Texas. Florida doesn't want Florida State. Georgia doesn't want Georgia Tech. South Carolina doesn't want Clemson. That's the deal. You don't want your team.
That was what they thought was the deal. And then A&M was like, yeah, but those other schools aren't Texas. So sorry, A&M.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Well, Clemson is.
Clemson doesn't. I don't know if they bring the money that Texas does. Sure, the what they do on the field, bar none, as far as success.
It's trickier.
I don't think it's Texas as far as.
But they have agreements in writing that South Carolina says Clemson can't come
not
in.
Writing. It's,
no, there's not in writing.
That's just
there's
a handshake also?
That's a handshake. Yes.
That's
a handshake.
That's why it's happening.
If I'm A&M, listen, I haven't really talked on it. Let me speak on it quickly. If I'm A&M, I'm pissed.
Of course you are.
If you know, you wanted to make this move, and I was happy for A&M when they made this move. I was happy to see them have success early when Texas Longhorns were crapping on them. When Texas Longhorns went out and got their own network and kind of screwed over other people. Listen, that was a bullcrap move, and I was happy for A&M that they got their chance. It is a little – I do feel bad for them. It's also – it's like a combination of, like, watching in pseudo-amusement to watch this unfold, but I also feel bad for A&M as they sit and watch the team that they wanted so badly to get away from. And Ross Bjork even mentioned – like, he even said the state's little brother. Like, he actually said it out loud, which probably people would have – preferred he not say that out loud. Did you see Casey Smith, who used to be with Tex Hags, who's with Barstool now? Did you see her conversation with Dave Portnoy and KFC Barstool and the other one from Chicago? Not PFT Big, commenter, no. But Big yeah, Cat.
Big Cat.
Did you see the conversation they had?
No.
Oh, you need to pull that audio. They'll have to clean it up, but they're basically telling her, they're asking her about this, and she's like, no. That's, you know, your idea of Texas versus Texas A&M is old. And they're like, come on. It's like Michigan and Michigan State. And you could see her getting upset. And like, no, it's not. We've got more money. And they're just like, shut up. It's Texas. Texas is way up here and you're way down here. And, you know, I don't think that's the reality.
It's but not that the is reality, the though.
But that is the perception around the country. Yeah. And I do feel bad for the Aggies that they thought they had an agreement, and the SEC basically reminded the Aggies where they fit in. They're not a blue blood. They don't. You've been here 10 years. Great. You know, the SEC guy stuff is kind of a joke, but it's the truth. You're not one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arkansas, I don't even think they look at Arkansas. Arkansas's not blue blood either.
Yeah. I don't know. They might. Jackie says word last week was UT and A&M would play every year. I don't know that that'll happen. Maybe
they may not get a choice.
Too much. Yeah. Maybe it's too much money to pass up, but I think you placate the Aggies a little bit and not put them in the same division, and you just say, okay, you know what? We're kind of sorry. You won't be in the same division.
But they should be in the same division, obviously, but they probably won't be.
Well, OU.
And, LSU.
OU and Texas is a bigger rivalry. They should be in the same division.
Are they going to keep the pods west, west, east, east, or is it going to start getting mixed up?
Well, it looks like it's going to be LSU and Texas A&M with the two Mississippi schools, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. And
who's the group of death?
The
Alabama, Auburn.
Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, and South Carolina. No, that's not a group of death.
I don't think there really is.
No, I think Florida, Georgia, Tennessee.
That's a pretty sporty basketball conference.
It depends on the year.
I think they split it up. If they do it that way,
actually,
it's split up pretty well.
It's pretty even,
the group of death will be year by year. If a team, that third team, per se, is having a great run.
That's kind of fun, the group of death concept, but they're not going to. Are they going to have the winners emerge from each conference, like in wild card? No.
I don't know if they're going to play.
Are they going to do a winners from each conference? Or each pod plays each other?
I don't know if that's it, or is it strictly for scheduling, and then they'll have one division overall as far as standings? I'm not sure.
By the way, with this now, I could see the 12-team playoff going away, too.
The media rights ends June 30th,
2025.
June 30th, so it only
so
is
they would
the
be in the 2025 season. So they've got 21, 22, 23, and 24 to play.
Well,
4 years.
Yeah, well, people believe that the SEC was one of the team conferences pushing for 12 because they were doing this at the same time. You add two more teams who are playoff capable, so you add your chances of getting more teams in. But this may just piss off everybody else and go, you know what, let's rethink this.
Yeah, because why? So we could put four SEC teams every year in?
Yeah.
Because guess what? That would probably be the minimum.
Well, if we think Texas is one of those teams.
No, it's OU.
Maybe. We'll see. There would be an adjustment. It's an adjustment for everyone. A&M took their adjustment. Now, they weren't at OU's level when they entered, but A&M spent an adjustment, and now they're ready. Maybe an adjustment for OU as well. We'll see.
All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Reagan says that Barstool conversation was 3 years ago.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, so it just showed back up.
When Tech was in the Final Four.
Oh, so that was from 3 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that, you know what? I don't know that Barstool's thoughts change at all. I have this. Texas, where their preseason rankings, only 1 year since 2012 has University of Texas performed
better.
Ended the season higher ranked than they were before. Now, they had 3 straight years where they were unranked, 14, 15, 16. 2017, they were ranked 23rd to start season, unranked. 2018, 24th, 9th. That was the 1 year that they outperformed the preseason, 10th to 25th, and the last year, 14th to 9th.
So for the most part, their AD was saying this to their coach?
Pretty much, but what did he did, was were they underdogs? Yes, they were underdogs.
Underdogfantasy.com, $25. I'm giving you $25 for free. Well, I'm not, but I'm going to tell you how you get it. If you go to underdogfantasy.com, you make your first deposit. Your first deposit is going to get you a $25 bonus when you use the promo code radio. So when they ask for your promo code, use radio. Right now, I'm looking at Major League Baseball, so you can get in. There's in their drafts today, I click on it. And so you've got the, the gym. The gym is the $5 entry going on right now. There's 5 different games to choose from. Currently, there's $1,000 in prizes. There's 222 entrants right now, and that's going to go up throughout the day. You can get 6-person, 4-person, 2-person, 3-person fantasy games going on right now. They've got the NFL season coming up. You can get involved. 2,300 are involved in the Big Dog NFL Fantasy Football League, and then they've got Best Ball Mania 2. They've got 155,000 people involved in that, and the prizes there are $3.5 million. This is a great opportunity for you to take advantage of the company that is the hottest thing right now in daily fantasy, and that's UnderdogFantasy.com. Check out all they have to offer at UnderdogFantasy.com, and make sure you use promo code radio.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FM. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5 for exclusive, uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?